One thing that's become abundantly clear is that there's never been a way for creators to own their business, have control over what they've created, the content that they've made. And that's true to the DNA of Flagship. We believe that creators are the modern day media property.
Retail Unwrapped is a weekly podcast hosted by Robin Lewis and Shelley Cohan from The Robin Report. Each episode dives into the latest trends and developments in the retail industry. Join them as they discuss interesting topics and interview industry leaders, keeping you in the loop with everything retail.
Hi, everybody, and thanks for joining our weekly podcast. I'm Robin Lewis, founder and CEO of The Robin Report, along with my podcast partner, Shelley Cohan. And today, we welcome Julian Green. She is head of creator partnerships at Flagship, and she is in a job that did not exist 5 years ago. Boy, I'll tell you, you know, this new tech era and everything that keeps going by me, I can't keep track of all of it. Anyway, Julian's very smart, and we invited her here today to discuss the growth of content creators. And when I first heard that phrase, I said, what? Anyway, I'm beginning to learn a lot, and we'll learn a lot more today with Julian here. And explain the difference between influencers and content creators. And she will bust the myths of this growing industry. And actually, Shelley, you wrote about this in your Forbes article. Yeah, you did. And the title was Top Retail Trends of 2024. And of course, this is one of those. It's the creator economy. And it's people are calling it that. It's projected to double in size over the next 5 years to, get this, $480 billion by 2027. And that's according to Goldman Sachs. So, Julian, we're really glad you're here. And let's start with, what exactly does Flagship do where you are now working?
Well, first off, Robin, Shelley, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor and privilege to be able to share what I love most, which is creators, and speaking of the creator economy with all of your listeners. So I'm really excited to dive in today. So to answer your question, I am currently the head of creator partnerships at Flagship. Flagship allows creators to create their own storefront in the matter of about five clicks, which is incredibly powerful. Something we'll unpack a little bit is, as the creator economy has grown and evolved over the course of the past 10 years, one thing that's become abundantly clear is that there's never been a way for creators to own their business, have control over what they've created, the content that they've made. And that's true to the DNA of Flagship. We believe that creators are the modern day media property, and we want to allow creators to be able to seamlessly engage with their followers by creating a central shopping destination where they can curate all of their favorite products in one place. Why is this incredible? One, it makes it so much easier for consumers to buy the best products from creators. Creators can now share products they genuinely love from product makers that maybe it's one of their friends who created a candle company. Now they can sell their products in one place. And for brands are able to pay on the purchase. So our founding team actually comes from one of the original parts of the Instagram ads business. And so the mechanics of how we've built the platform for companies and for retailers is actually structured a lot like how Meta runs their ad program. So for on Flagship, brands connect with creators and only pay creators on the sale. So we are a performance channel for brands, which really kind of adheres to the ethos of what brands want to do, which is they want to connect with creators and allow creators to create content that's very authentic to them, that then leads to a sale. So really, at the end of the day, I think we have built something that aligns with all three parties, creators, brands, and consumers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And Julian, you and I had talked about this whole, it's been kind of this organic evolution of online media and how the sharing has really democratized how consumers learn about products, goods, and services. So content creation is really just a natural evolution of all this online media that's been taking place over the past few years. So, you know, retailers should really embrace these content creators as opposed to, you know, running away from them, but they really need to bring them in to part of the community. And we've even said that content creators are the cultural leaders of the 21st century. So
yes,
it would be great if you could kind of explain to our listeners, you and I use the term creator commerce a lot. So, you know, what exactly does that mean?
Absolutely. I could not agree more, Shelley. Creators really are the modern media property of this day and age. And what that means is now specifically Gen Z and millennials are really going to platforms like TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram to discover people like themselves. I always use the example, I'm someone who has very curly hair, you can't see it right now, and I gravitate to creators who really provide me as a consumer with educational content. Now, anyone who has a point of view can share their story online and create that experience with consumers, where consumers are now able to buy the best products based on what they're looking for. So when you think about what creators are, they are the modern day media property creating content that leads to education and the best purchases for consumers.
You know, it's really astounding. It just is. To me, I mean, I think there's a whole other path that we could go on talking about this. It's just amazing what's happening today. But, and you know, the growth of social media has also led to many new jobs and market growth as well in this industry. So the explosion of influencers, micro-influencers, and now, of course, content creators. Julian, maybe for our listeners, you can tell us the difference between influencers and content creators.
Absolutely. I think this is something that there's a lot of polarizing discourse on LinkedIn and many different media properties around the difference between content creators and influencers. Some people say they are the same. I fundamentally believe they're two very different things. So a content creator is someone that creates content that's meant to inspire the audience. I use an example of someone that is incredibly near and dear to my heart, as well as Shelley's heart. Her name is Kate Bartlett. She is a renowned TikTok creator based in New York City and uses TikTok as a way to inspire women through fashion. Her job is to curate editorial pieces of content, whether it be working with a Ralph Lauren and curating some really beautiful spring lookbooks to help women understand what the trends are. Her job is to evoke a sense of inspiration and make women feel excited through content. Then there's influencers. And influencers, I always use the terminology, are very similar to how companies think about referral marketing. Influencers are people who they have created a community that looks to them to purchase. They have a very strong sales funnel. So a content creator is not someone that you will normally see sharing coupon codes and discount codes with their audience. An influencer is someone that you will most likely see if you are on your TikTok or if you're on YouTube. They'll probably be sharing a product with some sort of discount code attached to it with the end goal of driving a sale. They're two very different kinds of people online, both with, I believe, the same amount of power, but as a company and as a retailer, very important when you're thinking about your goal, you're going to work with content creators and influencers in very different ways.
Got it.
That's a great explanation. Of course, Kate Bartlett, as you know, Julian, she was one of my students at FIT.
I know.
And she had a dream of becoming this, you know, big influencer. And now she's this wonderful content creator. And I have to tell you, I can't stop watching her TikTok videos. They are unbelievable. She's so engaging.
Shelly, when I think about it, I really view TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram as pioneering the American dream. Now, anyone, the more you put into cultivating community and building content, the more you will get out of it and the more that you will grow. It's endless what can come out of really creating community on these platforms. And there is no barrier. There's no ceiling. You can just keep growing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So tell me, what is one of the misconceptions that you would like to dispel? Let's bust a myth here. What do you want to dispel about content creation?
Oh, I love it. So this is a huge thing that I cannot advocate for enough. Being an influencer and a content creator is not easy work. Every creator and influencer that I've ever had the privilege of working with are some of the most prolific entrepreneurs that I know. They are true business people. I think some people think that at the end of the day, it's just posting things on TikTok. You have to be a strategist. If you're a blogger, you need to be an SEO whiz. You need to be a MacGyver of affiliate marketing. You need to be someone who understands Pinterest. You also need to be a copywriter. You need to be a photographer. You need to, if you are a food creator, you need to be a food stylist. There's so many things that these creators need to be. And I think because they make it look so easy, people think that anyone can just become a content creator overnight. And I swear it is not that easy.
Boy, you know, Julian, surely you didn't go to school to learn how to manage content creators. So maybe you can share a little bit about your journey in your career into becoming a content creator / influencer, representative.
Absolutely. I think when we think about the world of content creators and influencers, this never existed 15 years ago. And I've always been someone, I believe, when we work in the retail and media world, it's so important to go where the opportunities are. And so when I began my career about over 12 years ago, I went to college for public relations, and I saw that people were not really consuming magazines and media like they were. And this thing called blogs was starting to become something. And I actually, my role was working with mommy bloggers to gift them. I worked for the Amazon retail team at a PR firm, and I gifted them Instant Pots. That was my job. And I saw that these creators could create content and connect directly with women all around the country. And for me, when you look at the opportunities there, companies could start seeing their products being reviewed in the comments, which I thought was so unbelievable. Never before could brands directly can see their customers and their consumers commenting. And so it started my journey in this ever-evolving creator world. 12 years in, it's unbelievable what's come, but really starts with seeing where the opportunities are and understanding where's people's attention going. You know, we don't consume magazines like we did in the past. We now follow digital properties. We're following, editors on LinkedIn to see what they've created. And so it really goes to see where the opportunities are and understand what's in your heart. And my heart has always been in working alongside these incredibly prolific content creators to help guide them as to where they should be. So always follow your heart, and also where are the opportunities?
Wow.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah. What a great story. So I recently presented at Shop Talk about the changing dynamics of the workforce with generative AI and Gen Alpha. And here's a fun fact I know you'll appreciate. So 65% of Gen Alpha are going to work in jobs that don't exist today.
Wow.
65%. It's just, it's crazy, yeah. Right? So I'm sure content creative process will evolve much more over the next few years. But tell us a little bit about what's the process like for content creation.
Yeah. I think consistency, Shelly, is key. I use this term a lot, productizing your life. Your followers want to go with you throughout your journey that you call life. Now, I always say that with the caveat, you don't have to share everything. As a creator, as an influencer, you don't need to share every minute part of your life. Share with intention. But your community, they want to click on the things that you genuinely love, and they want to follow along in what you are doing. So the more that you can bring your audience through your life, maybe you are going on a trip and you want to do a style haul from all of the things you bought from Revolve recently, one of the retailers that has really dominated and seen huge success working with content creators. Do a spring shopping haul from Revolve and share it with your community, and then show them all the final looks that you actually picked when you're on your vacation. So I think people oftentimes think I have to come up with this whole editorial storyboard. It's not that. You don't need to do that. Share what is in your heart and bring your community along with you and what you're doing in your life. And it's going to make them feel more connected to you.
Fantastic. it's really, it's really kind of, it's a whole new industry. It's a whole new way of looking at these things. So, Julian, What has been your most challenging content project? And how did you overcome those challenges?
Yeah, I think one of the hardest parts about our industry right now, I always sort of say we're in the precipice of the creator economy 2.0. There's been a lot of people who entered the creator economy in the 1.0 world where maybe they didn't have a marketing background, or maybe they didn't know how to manage talent in the right way. And some of these bad eggs really muddled the water in terms of how brands partner with creators. And so one of the biggest frustrations that I know so many marketers experience today is brands thinking like they don't have to pay a creator for the work. And so now what we've really had to do as individuals in the creator economy is sort of reinvent how brands and creators work together, because creators, obviously, this is a business for them and they need to be able to make money from partnering with the brand. While on the other side, retailers and companies, they want to make sure that they can see true ROI from their creator initiatives. And so that's one of the biggest tension points, and why I'm so bullish on what we're building here at Flagship is a way for brands to seamlessly engage with creators in a way that works for everyone. So what's really difficult right now is people think that they don't have to pay creators, and they do. And one of the unfortunate things is there are some times where creators will say, listen, I'll work with you for free. And unfortunately, what it does is it muddles the waters for everyone. So as a creator, never accept something for free. You're running a business. And I think people forget that sometimes.
Oh, that's really interesting. So how do these content creators engage with their community, and how do they foster this sense of connection among followers? Like, what's the secret sauce that makes some of these like really successful content creators? And also, why should retailers or brands care about this?
Absolutely. I always will use the example of Alex Earle, who recently blew up on TikTok. There's so many articles, Shelly, about her. And really, it's so plain and simple. What she did is she connected with her community as if they were her friend. They were her besties. And that's exactly what it's all about. I want to see someone who I can relate to, right? She was someone, she went to University of Miami. She loved going out with her friends. She had great style. She's such a great ability to put amazing makeup on, but she also struggled with acne and she was really vulnerable about that. I think the more vulnerable people are with their journeys of whatever it is, because life is not easy. And I think that people think that, you know, they sometimes become adverse to following content creators because they think that creators build this life with rose-colored glasses, everything's perfect. And the creators that are able to be vulnerable show up much like Alex Earle on TikTok and really connect with their audience. That's how you build true community, and you will build a business that will be here for many, many years. Shelly, as you said, you know, who knows where all this will be in 10 years? Gen Alpha is going to have busy, you know, they'll be in a world where maybe they have jobs that none of us could imagine. But so long as you focus on your community and connecting with them, they will be with you forever.
Yeah, I can see that. And I've learned of somebody I never heard of, Alex Earle. I think I'll go on TikTok, which by
you absolutely have to, Robin.
Yeah, it might. Might take a few years off of my life. Anyway, Julian, what strategies have you found most effective for growing an audience and increasing the reach? And then how should retailers kind of approach collaborations with these creators, and what should they look for in a partnership?
Absolutely. There's so many good parts to unpack there. And I think I was so excited, Robin, I cut you off there. So forgive me. But the world of Instagram, TikTok, YouTube is ever evolving. And the most important thing is for people to really dive into what leads to the greatest amount of engagement. So many of these platforms, they have different ways that they deem in good engagement. And one tool that we're seeing many creators are using is this tool called ManyChat. You'll see it on Instagram right now where a creator will say, you comment soup and I'll send you my soup recipe directly through my DMs. This might seem spammy, it's actually incredibly powerful for two reasons. Instagram, we're seeing now more and more due to the polarizing rhetoric around TikTok and if it will still remain in the US, Instagram is becoming just the predominant channel that retailers and creators are really diving into and focusing on. And as a result, there's these new businesses that have evolved, and one of them, ManyChat, allows creators to see crazy comments spark once they post their content. And the way that Meta, they view good engagement is the velocity of comments within the first about 5 to 10 minutes of a post. So if you're getting a ton of comments on a post, what Meta is going to do is they're going to push your content to more people. You're going to reach more of your audience. And so it's these tools that allow really powerful engagement to come to fruition. And what it also does is it prompts incredible conversation in the DMs. One hack and thing that I find time and time again is creators say their favorite part of their career in building a business is connecting with their followers on their DMs. In their DMs, they're able to cultivate real community, and there's something very powerful about the DMs. And so by using different tools that drive engagement and connection, that's how creators will see more success. And that's how retailers will see more success too, because those are the creators that really have that community. You want there to be a push and pull. You don't want creators just to be pushing content to their audience. You want there to be a true sense of back and forth camaraderie and conversation. That's the influencer that retailers should really be bullish on working with.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about what are some of the challenges and maybe opportunities in monetizing content. So we always have to go back to what you said earlier, which is the ROI. And also, do you have any advice for retailers and brands who really haven't dived into this whole content creator process?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start with your second question, Shelley, which is, you know, everyone needs to really think about how can they utilize content creators to reach their community. The most exciting thing is there is no one size fits all strategy to engaging with creators. Maybe you're a company whose key audience is a little older. Maybe they're on Facebook, they're on LinkedIn, capitalize on Facebook groups. Maybe you're someone who wants to reach Gen Zers. You know, they're more on TikTok, they're on Pinterest. And so there's so many ways for you as a company to find your customer. And always understand, what is your goal? Is your goal virality or is your goal sales? If your goal is sales, then I want you to really focus on what is your affiliate commission strategy. That's what we do here at Flagship. We work with brands on a CPA basis. What are your CPA targets? And build out a campaign that aligns with your CPA targets. Another growth hack many companies do is they'll actually get content creators to share coupon codes on Instagram stories with a swipe up link. And you can get creators to send the screenshot of your Instagram of their Instagram story swipe ups. And you can build out a scalable program all around flat fees and understanding what their swipe up rates are to align with your CPA targets. Creators can be used as a performance channel. And I really want to make sure that brands understand that they should back into their goals, whatever their CPA targets are, with working with content creators.
Well, Julian, I have a niece who's a sophomore in college and who is an influencer. And she's making a ton of money, enough so that she bought her own apartment. And she lives out in L.A. and she's going to school.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so unbelievable.
I was blown away. I mean, I really was. And as Shelley said, if 65% of Gen Alpha will work in jobs that actually don't exist today, I can believe that. There are still millions of yet unknown businesses and professions ahead of us. I really believe that. And it's all generated by this technology revolution we are in, and we're still only at the beginning of it. And of course, the magic buzzword today is AI. And you, of course, are already in one of those never-before businesses. So good for you, Julian. I really mean that. And we were delighted to have you on our podcast today. And thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you,
Julian,
so much for having
me. Oh my God. I don't think I've ever met anyone that's more energetic than me, except you. You got like this high power energy. I love it. It's so fun.
Me and Shelly, we can fill up a room. Yes, that's a great question. And Shelly, your energy just transcends through, you know, this conversation too. We can light up a room, I swear. So you can find me. I always like to say, you know, my personal brand is very discoverable. So you can find me anywhere, Instagram, LinkedIn, Julian Green, at Julian Green. I love sharing just words of wisdom about female entrepreneurship, world of content creation, influencer marketing. So I'm really looking forward to connecting with all of you and making sure that you can really see true ROI from working with content creators and influencers. So thank you so much both for having me.
Oh my God.
You're like a firecracker.
I know. I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And so Robin and I, we have a very exciting podcast next week, which is all about the consumers who are very upset that they can't get the Birkin bag. So there's a new class action lawsuit against Hermes. Right. So stay tuned. I'm sure, Julian, you're going to listen to that one because it'll be really interesting. But thank you for our listeners. And please make sure you link in with Robin and I and Julian also.
And I want to thank everybody again, and you too, Julian, and our audience. And as I say every week, if any of you in the audience have a topic you would like Shelley and I to cover, just send me an email at robin@therobinreport.com. And thanks again, Julian. You were terrific.
Thank you for listening to Retail Unwrapped. We'll be back in 1 week with another podcast. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast service. If you have questions, ideas for a podcast, or anything else, please contact us via therobinreport.com.